I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, Muslim leaders from around the world meet to debate their role in combating extremism. And then, your comments. But first, it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about whatever's in the news and whatever's on their minds. After a week chock full of political news and sports, we're betting a lot is on their minds. Sitting in the chairs this week for a shape-up are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, media executive Nick Charles, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and radio host Joe Madison. Welcome. I may jump in here or there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, thanks, Michelle. Fellas, what's up? Welcome to the shop. How
Thank
we doing?
You. Thank you,
doing
Jimmy.
Good, Jimmy.
Thank
good,
you.
Man.
Good. Well, you know what? Check this out. Now, Hillary Clinton snapped a streak of Barack Obama victories in Texas and Ohio this week, so she's definitely in it to win it. But, Nick, how does she secure her party's nomination?
Well, you know, my thing about what she did is they don't call it a comeback. They were always little evidences all over the place that there was a chink in his armor, and they started to exploit. You know, if you can't beat him, scare them. And that 3 o'clock in the morning call, that ad, really did a lot to freeze people in their tracks.
Do you guys want to hear that? I have it.
Sure.
You
yeah.
hear
Absolutely.
It? Maybe not the whole yeah. thing. You can hear a little bit of it if you want. Here you go.
Drop it.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world.
Wow. Well, my question is, how do we know it's not? Yeah. How do we know it's not?
There's a bear
Bill's
in the woods.
Yeah. Well, you know, how do we know Monica Lewinsky doesn't answer it?
Right. Yeah. Does anybody really believe that when Hillary was in the White House,
ahead,
when Hillary was in the White House and the phone rang at 3 o'clock, that wasn't good news. Bill was up to something he shouldn't have been up to. That's what. They found Bill someplace he shouldn't have been.
You know how I read that ad, Ruben? I read it. I know how Hillary intended it. I mean, she intended it to say, you know, well, you know, I know what's up. But you know what? It felt a little bit to me like a reason to vote for McCain. I mean, because McCain's the cat with the experience.
Jimmy, it will. Absolutely. I'm glad you said that because she's going to regret. If she wins the nomination, she ends up facing John McCain. She's going to regret she ever used the E word, the experience word. Because on the experience front, John McCain wipes the floor with Hillary Clinton. And I think everything that she has much more of. At that point, she'll pivot and very creatively start to sound like Barack Obama. She'll be talking about change and, you know, yes, we can and all that stuff because that's the way you have to run against John McCain.
Well,
so
it's
a short-term strategy. I don't think it pays long-term dividends.
Let me go back to the original question you asked, Jimmy, and that is how does Hillary assure the nomination? She can't. I just left Capitol Hill. I talked to Congressman Bobby Scott from Richmond, and he said the math is not there. Just do the arithmetic. It can't be done unless this Michigan-Florida thing plays out in her favor, and that's going to be the trump card right there. But let me tell you, all you know what is going to break loose if Michigan and Florida are allowed to be seated and go towards Hillary Clinton.
Or even
what they call a redo.
Can I just ask, Joe, are folks talking about this on your show?
Oh, my God. The biggest fight that I have had is convincing young people that if their candidate, Obama, who many of them are emotionally excited about, if he doesn't get the nomination, don't disengage. Because 90% of the callers are saying, I'm disengaging. And then I have to ask the question, who do you want to pick the next Supreme Court justices? Do you want it to be Hillary or Obama or McCain?
So you're saying that they interpret that as dirty dealing if the
if
the delegates of Michigan and Florida delegates
right.
are seated after they had been disallowed by the
And the Democratic Party can just kiss them goodbye.
Well, this is the conundrum for the Democratic Party is that, you know, how far will the Clintons go to get this nomination? Because as we've said in this show countless times, this will rend the party apart. And the people who are following Barack Obama, who are so totally engaged with him, are not going to vote for her. Now, the people who voted for her will reluctantly, but will vote for him. Mm-hmm. And the people that he has brought to the table, like the independents and like the Republican crossovers, will vote for McCain. So everything that you look at, it still bodes well that Obama can be the candidate for Democrats and beat McCain, it's not sure that Hillary can be the candidate for Democrats and beat McCain.
Let me jump in here and point something out. Just right quick, Ruben. I mean, what I observed with the way people were voting is I wrote about this on kind of in a backhanded way on theroot.com about how what Democrats needed, whoever's going to pull those votes, needed the Pookie vote. That is the Pookie that Barack side-eyed kind of referred to in a speech earlier this year. And they need the working class vote. And Barack didn't get those people. You know, I think Barack kind of comes across as bourgeois middle class, and Clinton has that brand name Westernality that the working class people know. And I think that's what did Barack in ultimately, especially in states like Ohio and Texas. You know, those are meat and potato states.
Well, what did talk a little bit about Ohio. I was born and reared in Dayton. Ohio is a strange state. And when the exit polls were done, there were three things that got Obama. Electability, experience, and that speaks to the ad, and race. That's what did Obama in, and that's what came out in the exit polls.
But go ahead. I want to hear from Ruben on this, but what I think I hear Joe saying is that it's just not necessarily true that the Hillary people would vote for Obama, because I think what Joe's saying is that there are – now, it's got to be that some Hillary people would vote for Obama, because you can't win, you know, Idaho, Utah, Wisconsin, Vermont – with minority votes. But what I'm hearing you say, Joe, is that the complement of people who are saying, I'm just not going to vote for a black guy, is starting to be heard.
Oh, it's going to be heard. I mean, you saw a little bit of it in Texas also. I mean, it's going. Yeah, you saw it. For example, if anybody ought to have anything in common with African-Americans, it should be Latinos in this country. We should be together lockstep, given what we've gone through in the last 12 years. Look what happened along those counties along the Texas Mexican border. They stuck right with Hillary Clinton. And again, look at the exit polls. This isn't Madison saying this. The exit polls said race was a factor and factor.
I don't buy all that. Not with Barack Obama.
Exit polls.
Let Ruben get in.
I mean, Barack Obama has won. I'm not sure how many times Barack Obama has to win Iowa and win with white folks across the country, as Michelle said, all the way to Vermont and elsewhere, before you dispel this notion that people define him by race. There's an added element there, a class element for sure that's mixed in there.
Absolutely.
I think it's going to be problematic for Barack Obama in places like Pennsylvania. I think if you are middle class or lower middle class, working class, you view Barack Obama suspiciously, having reasons nothing at all to do with race. And more to that, Hillary Clinton throws you the red meat that you've been craving. She comes up here and tells you that you are in the bad way that you are, because of NAFTA and free trade and all that stuff. And so she gives you that red meat and you take it and run with it. As to Joe's point about whether Latinos and African Americans should be together as one, I don't know, Joe. Maybe if some of us didn't appear on Lou Dobbs tonight, maybe I'd feel differently about this.
Oh.
You know, African Americans and Latinos, sometimes the rubber hits the road on immigration, brother. And sometimes we got to go our separate ways on issues like that.
And that's why I go on Lou Dobbs, because I go the way of A. Philip Randolph and I go the way of W.B. Du Bois. And instead of looking at Lou Dobbs so much, maybe you ought to read some of their books and find out where they stand on this whole issue. But let me tell you, I'm not the one sitting here giving you just my opinion. I'm telling you what the exit polls said. So go read the polls. These are the people who came out of the polls and answered the questions about
I'm sorry, guys. I just have to interrupt for a second. If you're just joining us, this is our weekly visit to the barbershop. We're visiting with Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Nick Charles, and Joe Madison. Back to you, Jimmy.
Let me say this about the polls. You know what? We're seeing something that we've never seen in the history of America. And for my dollar, and for what I know about statistics, you know what? All bets are off. These polls cannot be trusted. And I'm that dude.
But they're exit polls.
I don't trust them.
You know something, Jimmy? My thing about it is that, you know, if, as Mr. Madison says, and as what I've been reading, they're going to be a redo in Michigan and Florida. It's going to be tough for Obama to get those votes. And the question about Hillary getting the math, maybe she can get a math to the point where she gets just above him, gets more delegates through Michigan and Florida. And that's where the real fight is going to be. Because even if people think it's illegitimate, it's going to count. And the other thing about it also, you know, one of the things that Ruben talked about, Obama being viewed with suspicion, it's true. Some of this race, he's been kind of above it in terms of, like, you know, I'm aloof, I'm going to be that good guy. This is a political fight. It's a blood sport. You know, they say they're going to mess him up. He has to get in there and start really hitting her. And not with raise your taxes. That's nothing. You know, you talk about foreign experience. Where were you when the call for Rwanda came? Where were you when we were trying to track down Osama bin Laden in Sudan? Where were you on those foreign policy decisions that, you know, your husband apologized for Rwanda in 2000 because, look, sorry, I didn't send any troops and 600,000 people died. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't pursue Osama bin Laden after we bombed Sudan. Come on. Those are the kind of decisions that
Nick's
really
speak
to judgment.
He's got to get in there, mix it up. He's got to get in there, mix it up. She's hitting him right in the gut. He's got to hit her back. He can't play this high and mighty role anymore and sort of raise above it because that doesn't work in politics. She is running the game on him, and he needs to somehow fight back. If you don't define yourself, your opponent defines you, and he's learning that.
In the meantime,
one other thing, though, I think everybody, you got to admit that Hillary Clinton had a good week. And some people think that part of the reason that she had a good week is that she kind of
cheated.
Dealt with her. Okay, all right. Some might argue that, and some would say it's because once again she kind of got on her game and kind of knocked Obama off of his game. And one example of that is, and I know, you know, some were kind of critical of Hillary Clinton for bringing up, you know, her Saturday Night Live, a Saturday Night Live skit that implied that the media was going soft on Obama and bringing it up in the context of a debate. The word whining was used, as I recall, but then it was
Nobody here used that word,
but there was another Saturday Night Live skit. I just wanted to play a little bit of it.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, well, thank you for coming. I love your outfit.
Well, I love your outfit,
thank you.
Do want the earrings back.
Oh, okay.
Do I really laugh like that?
Oh,
yeah,
So how did the campaign go?
So, guys.
So what?
Well,
I think, you know, softened her up a little bit.
I think that did a lot to for her goodwill. I think, you know, I mean, I think that really solidified her position as one of us and not one of them. You know, although Barack's been on. I mean, but Barack, I don't know, he comes across as real stiff, you know, and Hillary, you know, she came, even after all that whining, she went on and she represented.
There is one thing, though, about the Saturday Night Live thing that's interesting is that for them to sort of take the position that the media is soft on Obama definitely locates them within a continuum of opinion that does not include the African-American perspective. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess basically what they're saying is that because the African-Americans don't think that. I mean, I think that whole business with Russert asking, Tim Russert in the Ohio debate asking about Farrakhan, a lot of black folks thought that was unfair and a curveball. Anyway, Joe, you wanted to say something.
Guys, you sat there and watched the debate in Cleveland. And do you know not one reporter, Michelle, you should have been on that panel, not one reporter asked about home foreclosures? Not one reporter asked about foreclosures. You've got Ward Connolly running around five states trying to get anti-affirmative action legislation passed, and not one question has come up with Republicans or Democrats in any of the debate about affirmative action. I'm going to tell you something. This is all, they're just waiting for the fall. And they are, and I was, as I said, with Michael Steele. I was with Michael Steele yesterday. Michael Steele said, we can handle Hillary Clinton. We've written a playbook on her when Clinton was president. We've got, we don't know, talking about Republicans, they don't know what to do with Obama.
Michael Steele being the president of GOPAC and the former lieutenant governor of Maryland.
And big-time Republican.
Let's not lose sight of this narrative that the media has picked up on is somehow that if Barack Obama is the nominee, the Republicans are going to go hard on him and they're just waiting. That's nonsense. I'm more inclined to believe what Joe's talking about. They don't know how to run against Obama. And let's be fair, all the torpedoes that have come to Obama at Obama have come from Democrats and have come from Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
So
and
the all the dirt has come
Okay. All right, fellas. All right. We're going to move away from the political and get the ball rolling across the field, talking about somebody that's actually moving off the field. Green Bay Packer Brett Favre is packing it in, announcing his retirement from football. Joe, who's going to inherit his mantle?
I don't know. Don't care. Hate Green Bay.
No, Joe. No. Don't hold anything back, bro. Don't hold anything back. Please tell us how you feel in no uncertain terms. Nick. Come on, Nick.
Okay. I'm a Giant fan, and we won, so I'm happy. But to give, you know, Brett Favre his due, White Jesus is going, so I don't think there's another White Jesus on the horizon. Tom Brady is too slick. And the thing about Brett Favre is, you know, he was a homeboy. He's from, you know, from the South. He's from way down on the coast. You know, he's a nice, likable guy with a nice little accent. And And he was a great quarterback. And, you know, I give him his due, his props. He played hurt. He played in all kinds of bad weather up in Green Bay. I salute him for saying, look, I'm tired and I just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, don't you give him credit for walking away and not getting carried away?
Yeah, he said he was mentally tired.
I think he's a little overrated.
Yeah.
Far's a little overrated, frankly.
What did he say?
He won one Super Bowl, not as opposed to two or three or whatever. He's not Joe Montana, Troy Aikman. He's not going to be in that category. He is a gritty player. He played hard. I think part of it has to do with the way that we in the media have romanticized certain football towns, and Green Bay is the top of that list. And I think if he was playing anywhere else in the league, we may not feel this way about Brett Favre, but I'm just trying to keep it, you know.
I disagree. Honest.
Yeah, no. Let's bottom line is he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, first vote, no ifs, ands, buts about it. He was an outstanding quarterback, one of the great quarterbacks.
The thing that I admired about Brett Favre is that, you know what, through it all, he was a workman that somehow managed to keep his nose clean. He managed to stay out of the news. You know, whatever he was doing behind closed doors, you know, he got my respect for just going to work, punching the clock and doing his job and going home. And we never caught him at the strip club trying to make it rain, you know. And that's, you know.
We're dating Jessica Simpson. Uh-oh.
Right.
Is that the bar now, Jimmy? Make it a rain?
and these days, there's something to be said for that. Now, as Brett Favre is saying this week, you know what? It's a wrap. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the shop. I got to pass the ball to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
And hopefully I won't drop it. Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy Israel is a freelance writer and a blogger. He writes for TheRoot.com. He joined us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com, and he joined us from KPBS in San Diego. Joe Madison, the Black Eagle, hosts the Joe Madison Show on XM Radio. He joined us in our Washington studio. And Nick Charles is the Vice President of Digital Content at BET.com, and he joined us from our New York Bureau. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.
Coming up, Islamic extremism debated by Muslims.
Unfortunately, to people who are undereducated or ignorant about Islam, they see Islam as a monolith. They think all Muslims are Arabs, all Arabs are Muslims, vice versa. Complete fallacies about Islam, and I think that it is our duty to educate.
That's next on Tell Me More.